Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right. Welcome to another episode of The Close Up. I'm your host, Stephen Cameron, part of the Orlando Magic HQ Network. And today we have a really, really fun episode for you. We have Bryce Woolley. He's a co-host of the Orlando Magic HQ postgame spaces that are hosted after every single home game on Twitter, where fans can interact live and get their frustrations or their excitement out after whatever result happened of the Orlando Magic game. So make sure you check out the postgame spaces after every single game, co-hosted by Bryce Woolley, my man, who you'll hear us today talk about the Magic. This show is great. Bryce is an awesome person. He's a really good, passionate Magic fan. He joins me and we talk a lot about the expectations and just kind of how we're feeling going into the remaining four games of the season with the Magic, kind of where we think they might land in the standings. We talk about some potential playoff matchups they could have for certain teams. And then we talk about the playoffs, what we hope to see from this team, what we would consider a success, and certain things we hope to learn from individual players, how they perform, coaches, things like that. It's really good. It's really good conversation. So shout out to Bryce. Before we get to that conversation, we got some sponsors of the show that I want to shout out. First one is Bet Online. The show is presented by Bet Online. The NBA playoffs are right around the corner. Make sure you go to Bet Online for all your betting and wagering action. You can get up to the second odds, news, trends, all that information on Bet Online. You can access the most up-to-date minute wagering information from your desktop or your mobile device and even track your bets in real time all the way through the end of the playoffs. Head over to Bet Online today to get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. The second ad read we have is, hey, Believe Nation, as you all know, we've partnered with Cut, the social betting platform. Cut is a peer-to-peer betting platform that allows you to bet directly against your buddies and other fans. That's right. Head over to Believe. Head over and join the Believe crew on Cut today and bet directly against me. I'm on there. It's a lot of fun. You can bet your favorite sports, pop culture, or even politics topics. It's kind of a wild thing. You can bet on just about anything. Cut is the ultimate put your money where your mouth is platform, and it's all legal here in Florida. Be sure to follow Cut Bet on all your social platforms and download the app via the App Store or cut.com. Use promo code BELIEVE MAGIC, that's BLEAV MAGIC, for 10% deposit bonus. All right, that's it for the ad reads. This last thing I want to shout out is just the homie Brandon Kravitz. He was a guest on the show last week. We've partnered with 96.9 The Game. Every Wednesday you can catch our 4:50 p.m. segment where Brandon has someone from Orlando Magic HQ join his show. And I'm on there often. But what's really cool is his podcast that he just launched recently called The Zone Heads. He doesn't just cover Orlando Magic. He covers all Orlando sports, from Orlando City, from UCF to obviously the Magic. He covers everything. It's just a really good spot. 4 episodes a week. They're really great bite-sized episodes, you know, 5-10 minutes long each episode. So make sure you head over to Zone Heads and shout out Brandon Kravitz for this awesome partnership and this growing friendship that we've created. All right, Magic fans, that's it. Here's this episode with Bryce Woolley, co-host of Orlando Magic Postgame Spaces with Orlando Magic HQ. Thanks for tuning in. Yo, like I said, Magic fans, we got the one and only Bryce Woolley, host of the Orlando Magic HQ Postgame Spaces with our boy Stanley Swanson and Skinny Hardaway. Bryce, welcome to the show, my man, my friend. We should have done this a long time ago. How are you doing tonight? Thanks for joining.
Steven, I'm doing great. The Magic are about to head into the playoffs, and we're here. We made it onto the close-up podcast hosted by Orlando Magic HQ. I'm excited. How are you doing?
Man, third seed. I'm doing great. I'm doing great tonight. We're recording this Monday night on April 8th for the listeners tuning in and watching. I'm doing great, man. I can't complain. I never would have thought the Magic would be sitting with 46 wins. If we go back and listen to like my preseason thoughts, I was thinking like, you know, 36 to like 42 kind of range, 38 to 42, somewhere around there. We're at 46, probably going to win around 48 games, I'd assume, you know, around there. Pretty damn good if you ask me. Bryce, before we get deep into this, what was your preseason prediction on how many wins the Magic would have?
So I said kind of around the same as you. I was thinking 40 to 45 wins.
Cool.
And we would be in the play-in conversation, maybe in the 6th to 4th seed. But if you had told me with 4 games left, Steven, we would be in the 3rd seed with a chance to have home advantage in the playoffs, I would have told you you're just wrong. I wouldn't have known. I would have thought we were dreaming and told me, wake up, you know?
Yeah, no, man. And it feels like a dream. And you know what's cool? Before we get too deep, like, you do something really special. You and the crew, the Postgame Spaces crew, you guys, after every single game, you've gotten to talk to Magic fans on X, on Twitter, and just experience the season and with your core group, just doing initial, like, postgame reactions. First off, for the listeners of my podcast that might not know what you guys do, why don't you go ahead and like tell a little bit about what your show is all about and just a little bit of like the roller coaster and the ups and downs you guys have experienced as a group up until this point with 4 games remaining.
No, absolutely. Twitter Spaces on, you know, X is a opportunity for fans, you know, everyone in the Magic community to come in and share their thoughts after the game. So everyone can request. We've had hundreds of people that listen to us, you know, right after the game. And it's an awesome place where you can kind of share your thoughts and opinions on the game. And I think, you know, it's great. It's a great, like, little feedback, especially win or loss. You get to go ahead and, you know, get your thoughts off after the game. So it's definitely tough during the losses, for sure, because it's like, you know, no one wants to lose. You know, all these people that come in and talk in the spaces are Magic fans. So it can be a little bit stressful at times. You get some reactionary takes here and there, but it's a fun way to celebrate and, you know, kind of acknowledge and just talk about the game with fellow Magic fans. And it's awesome. Stanley does such a great job hosting it. He's really good at just, you know, kicking and making sure that everyone gets involved. So it's an awesome little place that, you know, podcasts are awesome. All the Magic podcasts are great, especially those at Orlando Magic HQ. But I think having spaces to talk about stuff right after the game and with your fellow Magic community is awesome, just for everyone to get to share their thoughts and experiences, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're a listener of the show and you haven't tuned into one of the spaces after a Magic game, you need to do it. There's a few regular season games left, and then you got the playoffs, which they will definitely be going off at that point too. I've joined. It's a great place for me to like get things off my chest. We've had like Dante Marcatelli join, and you know, tune in, chatting with him. You know, it's phenomenal. And I also love just hearing other people's perspectives, because like it really allows me to hear what the fans are thinking within certain moments. Are we all frustrated about the same things? Are we not? Are we seeing plays in the game differently? Are we seeing players do different things? It's just, it's a lot of fun. And yeah, you're right. Wins are great. Losses are awesome, but sometimes can be a little frustrating because we're all frustrated in that moment within a loss. You guys are doing great. Listeners, join the close-up spaces on Twitter, on X. If you don't have an account, I would make one just for that. Just gonna go there. Bryce, the Magic they're currently sitting in third place. They are 46 wins and 32 losses. They're tied statistically with the New York Knicks, but the Magic have the tiebreaker, so that's why the Magic are sitting in third over them tonight on this Monday night. We have the Cleveland Cavaliers sitting at 46 wins and 33 losses. Obviously, they've played one more game than the Magic. They've lost. That's why they are sitting at fifth. Then we have the Indiana Pacers at 45 wins, 34 losses. And then not too far behind them, we got the Philadelphia 76ers, who just got Joel Embiid back at 44 wins, and the Miami Heat at 43 wins. I'm not really too worried about the Chicago Bulls or the Atlanta Hawks. But that grouping, man, and I didn't even mention this, the Bucks have 47 wins. We're one game behind the Bucks. What are your thoughts about just like how tight the playoffs have been in the standings right now? With this playoff race, how are you feeling about all of this right now?
So going into these like last 3 weeks, I'd always been like so just excited to finally get to the playoffs. Like, I just want to be there. I want to be at, like, but these four games, Steven, are so important to the standings race. Like you just said, the Sixers are getting healthy. The Heat are playing for seeding. You have the Cavs that have been kind of struggling, but, you know, where do they, you know, tough schedule, where do they finish off for the regular season? The New York Knicks, they're finally starting to get healthy. Unfortunately, Randall, you know, is out for the season, but, you know, that's a team that's going to be competitive in their next couple games. So we have a lot of opponents in the Eastern Conference, the Milwaukee Bucks twice and the Philadelphia 76ers, that are going to be crucial games. And I mean, winning against the Rockets is going to be huge too, but a bunch of teams that's going to, you know, kind of shift the standings of when these games happen. So this is going to be an incredibly important week up until, I think, Sunday is our last game at 1. But it's incredibly important for this Magic team to have a successful end of the season and not to look ahead, not to act like they're already in the playoffs, because we're fighting until the last day. But that being said, it is nice having that, you know, beneficial of the postseason clinch. But that being said, we want to have a favorable matchup, and I think the only way to do that is just try to win as many games as possible.
Yeah, I mean, the Magic can control what they can control, and that's showing up to these last four games and trying to get as many W's as possible. It's interesting, man, because it's like this team, we sit in this spot and they have four games left, and it makes me sometimes think back on like game 32. I don't really know what game 32 is off the top of my head, but did we win? Did we lose? How did this team show up, right? It makes me think about some of those injury moments that we had, you know, the double overtime loss to the Kings, that loss in Miami around, like, I think it was like around game 40 before they went on that West Coast road trip when Paulo missed the buzzer beater right at the very end. You know, just all those little moments for, you know, sleepwalking through teams underneath us, or just having young team moments, right? This team is very young. They've had a lot of ups and downs. I know we tend to get caught up in like you know, the Charlotte loss. But do you ever think back about some of the early season struggles or the midseason struggles and think, man, if only certain things would have changed back then, we wouldn't be in this position right now? Or are you pretty much just dialed in, like, let's just focus on what we have. We can't go back and change what happened.
I think it can be incredibly frustrating at times to go back and look and see, like, these one or two possession games or like some of the Brooklyn Nets losses earlier in the season where we got blown out by a team that, it, if you're looking at the standings right now, is nowhere even competitive. But at the same time, like you just said, it's a young team. This season was always going to be a season of ups and downs. I think the fact that we are where we are right now is incredible as it is. Yes, there's some stuff that we wanted to iron out. I think if I'm going back game 82 and looking back at the season, I'm going to point to a couple of days ago, Steven, the Charlotte game. It's one thing to lose in game 15 or game 20 to the Charlotte Hornets as a young team or injured or whatever. But in game, what was it, 75, 76? To lose to a Charlotte team like that, and yes, they shot incredibly well. They had their get-back game after getting embarrassed at the Amway Center last time they were there. But I think, you know, I want to see improvement is really the only thing I'm going back sure. and looking at. And that's really the kicker for me is some of this, you know, the last quarter of the season, how we performed in some of these matchups. Early in the season, I could be a little bit more forgiving, but it definitely still sucks that we've lost a couple close games, but we're still in great position.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with that. I mean, I do go back and sometimes think about, like, man, we didn't even show up for the New York Knicks game on March 8th. You know, that was like that playoff atmosphere. But at the same point, it's like, what's the trend that has been happening recently? It's like, you know, that caused us to not show up in the Charlotte game. And it's like, it's that, what trends are we seeing, right? And right now it's like, oh, they're kind of being inconsistent with how they show up in the first quarter, you know, and then that just throws them off for the entire rest of the game. They kind of did it against Portland. They got lucky there. They didn't do it. They didn't show up properly versus Charlotte. It kind of took the coach calling him out after the Portland win to make sure they secured a W and on the road versus the Pelicans. We saw that really rough stretch versus Golden State, Sacramento, and LA where they were just like in a really weird space. And I think you and I both agree, like, we wish they would have this sorted out kind of at this point going into it. They have four games left to prove. And that's kind of like what I'm looking for. What are certain things that you're looking for in these remaining four games versus, you know, three of the four games, the next three are all on the road with the last game being versus Milwaukee. They hit the Houston Rockets, then they go to Milwaukee, then they go to Philadelphia, then they return home for the last home game. What are certain things you're looking at for the remainder of the year before we hit the postseason as a basketball franchise?
I think, you hit the first one on what I was going to say. It's just hit the first quarter and hit the start of the game strong. The starters need to come out with energy. Some of these games they haven't, and that just needs to be a consistent start the game off. You are the younger team, you are the and faster team. Jalen Suggs is probably faster than most players in the NBA. And you just need to get out and go. So it can't be a situation where it's first quarter with, you know, 4 minutes left and this team is finally starting to wake up. It's not going to fly in the postseason. I don't care if you're playing Indiana. I don't care if you're playing Miami. Like, these teams are going to start off the game strong. So I think getting out in front of it, the offense has been a struggle in certain games this year. I think that kind of gets not ironed out necessarily because I think we're still a bottom 10 offense in the league. But I think when we start to kind of ramp up towards the postseason, I have faith that our offense will get a little bit better. I'm not saying it's going to be world breaking, but I think, you're not going to get any performances like the Portland game in these last four games. But that being said, like, there's certain players that I want to kind of see, like our star players, Paulo. You know, I want that shot selection to be a little bit better than it has been. He's been a little bit inefficient these last couple games, Steven. I'm not really concerned about Paulo at all. I think he's going to do just fine in the playoffs. But up until these four games, you kind of have four to kind of feel it out. You're probably going to be missing your second best player in Franz Wagner, at least the game against Houston. We'll see what happens on Wednesday against Milwaukee. But Get that shot section selection ironed out a little bit, get a little bit more efficient. And then, you know, I think, you know, you're looking in good shape. I'd like Franz to get as many. I need that Franz 3-point shot back, Steven. I'm sure everyone does, but
yeah,
it's been rough these last, like, since All-Star break. And Suggs has been phenomenal about picking it up. And I think, you know, in however many games he can play through the rest of this regular season, I think it would be beneficial for him to get at least 3 to 5 shots, because I think success in the playoffs will have a little bit to do with the Franz Wagner.
Yeah.
Best player, but.
No, man, I hear you a lot on a lot of what you said. And, dude, let's just touch on Franz real quick. You know, he's questionable going into tomorrow's game. So is Jonathan Isaac. They're both questionable. Jonathan Isaac with back spasms. He played part of the Chicago game and then didn't. I think he didn't play in the second half. I think that's what happened. I don't exactly remember when he came out. But and then Franz had an ankle roll during the game, and you know, he's questionable today. X-rays came back negative, but you're right, man. It's like, he's had such an up and down year with his shot from three. You know, he's played well elsewhere. He's been really good at driving to the rim. He's been a good passer and playmaker. He's been playing really good defense, but you know, his shot that we all know he relies on from three, you know, it's been absent. And it's interesting, though, because, like, he came back from injury when he rolled that ankle in the middle of the season, and he had, like, a solid 10, 15 games where he was shooting, like, 40% from three. It was back. It was looking really great. He was looking confident. Then it seemed like he lost his confidence. He stopped taking them as quickly, getting into them. And we want to see him, like, just fully be confident in it. When he's got the shot, take the shot, take it quick, don't hesitate. Cause when he takes them confidently, it's like, that's when they start to go in, and it's just weird. So I'm wondering if there's something there mentally that he's struggling with, or if, like, this summer he's got to work with a shooting coach and kind of rework his shot a little bit. I also wonder if it's like, dude, are you just tired from, like, not really having an off season last summer? You know, I don't know, man, but I'm looking forward to seeing what happens, because I know coach is probably working on some stuff for the postseason. You know, I bet we see Jonathan Isaac closing next to Wendell, or maybe him closing over Wendell. That's a lineup I really want to see. But before we go too deep into that stuff, like, I wonder what coach is cooking with Franz, because you know there's got to be something there that he's hoping to unlock him in a different way. I agree with you. I think it'd be great for him to be taking, you know, 4 or 5 shots from three these last couple of games. Smart shots. I don't want him forcing them, but, you know, smart shots without hesitation. Man, what you look at the schedule, we got Houston back to our last back to back was Houston and Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and then back home at Milwaukee. What would make you happy? What would make you disappointed?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
See, the thing is about March is we had a terrific March. But if you're looking into the fact that every time we played a team that was over 500, we struggled. And that wasn't really the case earlier this season. I feel like, you know, during the 8-game win streak, kind of had a couple of opponents that we beat that were successful. Like, we beat Boston, we beat Denver twice, we beat some big-name opponents. And then kind of this last month, every time we've had a big task, except for the 2 Pelicans games, we've showed out in those, but
yes,
it's kind of been a little bit rough. There's been situations where we get blown out, or, you know, some of these Western Conference teams, we fall down to the wire and we're just kind of unlucky in certain situations. But I think going into this, you know, knowing what I know about our team on back-to-backs, you can expect a split. It's hard to go 2-0, especially, I believe it's an away back-to-back. So you're going to Houston and then you're flying to Milwaukee. So that's never easy.
Yeah, that's tough.
1-1 there would make me happy. Houston is now out of play-in contention. So hopefully they have a little bit less to play for and we're able to secure the dub on Tuesday. Compete against Milwaukee as best you can. And then when they come to your place, beat them. However, there is a game in between that Philly game that we struggle against this Philly team. We struggle against Embiid. We struggle against, I think Maxey went off one of the games that he played. And then I think just the way that Nick Nurse employs his team against ours has just not been a favorable matchup for us. But 2-2 is my baseline. 3-1 is a success. 1-3, you're not looking that good going into that. You're talking about falling down to probably six seed, probably going into the postseason.
No, I mean, and you know, it's what's challenging too is if trends continue, we're likely not going to see J.I. And Fultz not playing back to backs because they'll play one of the two games because that's how they've literally done it every single time. J.I.'s played some back-to-backs, but I'd imagine with his back spasms, they would rest him. Fultz has not played back-to-backs. So I do actually, now I'm kind of taking back my thought on Jonathan Isaac. It probably, but I imagine they rest him. But yeah, so it'll be interesting because Fultz is, you know, he's been up and down, but do they push him through these last two just to secure standings, or do they like hold him out one of the games like they normally do to not overwork his shoulder and his knees so he can be better prepared for the postseason? But that could mean we might lose a game. I'm not sure. It's going to be challenging, though.
If we're into like the sixth seed, you're looking at probably a week off because they have to finish the playing games. I think they're like Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Friday, I think. But I mean, that's a great question for the back to backs. I'm hoping he's able to go. But if not, it's like just, I think playing them against Houston the first night and then resting him Wednesday, because I think you have a better chance to win the Houston game. Milwaukee's been struggling, but at the same time, they're fighting for their seeding too. So I don't know.
And you have a shot to potentially make up the Milwaukee game in the final home game. Milwaukee's schedule, just to bring it up, they play Boston and Orlando at home, and then they have two road games versus Oklahoma and then back in Orlando for us versus the Magic. So that is that's definitely going to be challenging for them. That's not an easy schedule.
Is the Milwaukee team going – do they have a back-to-back the same days?
They do, actually. Yeah, they play Boston on Tuesday, and then they play Orlando on Wednesday. So that's something in the Magic's favor. Actually, now that you say that, there's a lot of these teams that have back-to-backs. The Heat have a back-to-back Tuesday and Wednesday at Atlanta on the road, then Dallas comes in on Wednesday for them. Then they kind of have a soft finishing schedule versus Toronto both Friday and Sunday on the 12th and 14th. No back-to-back for the Pacers, but they're playing Toronto and Cleveland on the road, finishing their season versus Atlanta. And then no back-to-back for the Knicks. They do actually, but it's not the same one. They have a back-to-back on Thursday and Friday at Boston versus Brooklyn. They see the Bulls on Tuesday, and then they finish their season versus the Bulls at home. And then Cavs, no back-to-backs for them. They just got off a big road trip. They see Memphis, Indy, and Charlotte, so probably the weakest schedule out of all of them. Man, if you had like the ideal situation for the Magic and where they stand, where they land, where do you want them to land? Like, do you want them to get the second seed, or like, do you have a particular matchup you like for them in general? I used to think like, let's not even worry about certain situations because it's not going to happen. But literally the Magic could end in the second seed, or they could drop all the way down to the sixth seed. You know, we're both going to be optimistic and not put any play-in scenarios in this situation. Like, what kind of matchup would be your dream right now?
Steven, I love the matchup against the Indiana Pacers. I am a huge that is the matchup that I think you should hunt and want to go for, because if you look at other, these other teams, like Indiana's coming into the playoffs with no playoff experience. You know, Siakam has obviously won the finals with Toronto, but you know, other than that, on that team is pretty young. And I think, you know, getting a first-year matchup with, you know, the Pacers and their young team versus the Magic, number one, that's great, great television. It's great, great for the NBA. And then I think you have a good chance to actually win that series. The Pacers have not been amazing since the All-Star break. They are losing the team that they should be beating, kind of like us, you know, the Charlotte Hornets. But I think, you know, going into that one, you're honestly like I'm saying it's a 50-50, because I think with some of these other teams, you're talking about playoff experience. If you're talking about that two seed, Steven, you're talking about potentially playing the Sixers or the Heat in the first round. Two teams that I don't want to be seeing. I think that'd be the other way around. We're fighting in the play-in to play them as a two seed. And then you have the New York Knicks that, you know, unfortunately Randall's lost, but, you know, they still have playoff experience. They were successful against the Cavs last year in round one. And that's a team that, wouldn't love to play in the first round. Indiana, you have a young and up-and-coming team versus Orlando. That's another up-and-coming team. And you're giving yourself a high percentage chance to win, whereas I think these other ones, you probably are not favored. What about you?
I agree with a lot of that. I think you're right. If the Magic want to get out of the first round, Indiana's the best choice. It's going to piss off a lot of Magic fans, because that's going to be the series that gets thrown on NBA TV, and they don't get the national televised games. But you know, that's probably the only series. And I'm just being honest, if the Magic could end in the second seed, but the Pacers is probably the only series where the Magic might be considered a favorite. Sorry, Magic fans. And the Magic could finish second, third, have home court advantage. Pretty much every other matchup, the Magic will be a underdog in the bettings, and people will expect them to probably not come out. It's an age thing.
And that being said,
go ahead.
I was about to say, like, I don't think that's a, you know, a bad take at all. I mean, I think, you know, going into that, it's like and you have the expectation that, like, this team is probably if matched up against one of those teams, they're not going to be favored. But that doesn't mean they can't win. And I think you're implying that too. Like, they can upset the Sixers. They could upset the Knicks. This team is capable of doing a lot of things. But I think, you know, if you're looking at a realistic expectation, that's probably not to get
No, and I agree. I wasn't trying to imply for the listeners, you know, Bryce understood me, but I wasn't implying the Magic can't win. Thank you for explaining that a little bit more clearly than I was. They definitely have a shot, particularly if they have home court advantage, but that's going to be the situation, you know, as far as the betting odds and stuff like that. I do like the Indiana Pacers. I do think that's our best chance, the Magic's best chance to get out of the first round. You know, Knicks, I think that would be probably one of the better experienced rounds for the Magic to get, like, the best experience out of the playoffs. I think they're a tough team. The crowd would be ruckus in both New York City and Kia Center. I almost called it Amway, dude. I should be past that by now. This should be Kia Center. But I think that would be a really good experience matchup, but I don't know if I want a lot of that. I got really scared as a Magic fan when they played them on March 8th and just got their asses handed to them, to say it just straight up. I'm hoping that wouldn't be the case again and that they would play a very competitive series. But that series scares me a little bit. Cavs, I'm not as scared. Mitchell's a little banged up. You always kind of want to go up against, you know, I'll take banged up teams right now. I'm okay with that. Let's get some advantages. Let's get to the second round. But I think I agree with you. I think the Pacers is it. The Heat scare me as well. If they were to, like, climb into the sixth spot and we have a 3-6 matchup, that would be a little scary with the Heat. Granted, there are a few losses behind, but they have such an easy schedule. What we were looking at, we said They play Atlanta, which is basically, I mean, they're playing for playing without Trae Young, Dallas, but then they finish two home games versus Toronto. They could win a couple of games. And dude, the thing is, like, these standings could flip at any second. Tomorrow the Magic could be the fifth seed.
I really haven't been involved with like looking at the standings, but these last four games, every night, and what you're doing right now is what a lot of Magic fans are doing on a daily basis. They are waking up and checking the standings, and I'm going to be like that for the last four games because it's like, I don't know what matchup we want. Like, it differs like on the day. I still think like overall Pacers, but
yeah,
it's like if that's not possible, I'm like, would I rather have the Knicks? Would I rather have the Cavs? I don't know. But it's exciting. Like, we're not talking about tankathon. We're not talking about who's looking good for this college basketball final that I think just finished probably a couple minutes ago. But it's we're talking about postseason, and that's exactly where we want to be, man. It's so exciting.
You know how checked out I am on the draft stuff is I forgot that it was the basketball tournament for March Madness when I was texting you and didn't even realize I probably took you away from watching it. So thank you for joining.
I care less about Purdue and UConn. I was not even watching.
Dude, it's been, it is really refreshing to just be in this state as a fan. I've been texting with so many friends, outside of the Magic Twitter community, and just like, how fun has this season been? It's been crazy. And now we're about to go into the playoffs, and many people, so many fans, man. I've never been to, I mean, I've seen plenty of Magic playoff games. I don't know if I've actually ever been to one. I was like 2021 the last time the Magic were in the playoffs, and I'm dating myself right now. I'm 35. But there's so many, and I think this is really cool, man. Like, there's so many cool Magic fans that are younger in this newer generation that haven't experienced this before and are going to actually see what it's like to be a Magic fan during the playoffs. And it's so fun. It's so cool. Bryce, do you mind me asking, how old were you when the Magic were in the playoffs last in 2012?
In 2012, I was 11 years old.
I love that, man. Like, this is going to be such an exciting moment for you. That's so fun. It's so fun. Are you going to go to any games?
All right. Great question. I'm going to try. my work schedule kind of just ramped up within like the last month or so. So it's kind of been, but I'm going to, kind of wiggle my way out of, any potential shifts because I want to be down there for a game. And also going into the fact that I want the Pacers, I think that would be the cheapest playoff ticket. Yes. Like, that's the most realistic. Those yeah. New York tickets are going to be $300 to sit at the top deck and just pray that there's no other orange in there. It's all blue. But no, I'm going to try, Steve. What about you? Are you going to fly across country to go see some Magic playoff games?
I actually might. It's a very slim chance, but my buddy, I'm in his wedding and his bachelor party. He just wants the two of us to go to a playoff game. So I'm trying to come down for that 4-5 window. So regardless of where we are in the standings, I'm assuming we're at least going to have a 5-game, 6-game series. We can go to a home game and then we could do like a block party on Wall Street or wherever they're doing those now, on Church Street, maybe, and do the block party with the Magic fans. But we'll see. Like you, I'm also in a crazy work situation where I don't know if I'm actually gonna be able to take off a couple of days to make the trip down there. So we'll find out. I just kind of got to play that by ear and see where these things land. But man, I think you're right. Pacers is going to be a good one. It's going to be, Halliburton's really exciting. They have Pascal Siakam, who's a really good playoff performer. He's a champion. He understands what it's like to play in big games. He also understands what it's like to get DJ Augustine, shutting you out in the first game. So I'm just throwing that out there. I lied. I'm a little disrespectful to all the Magic fans that didn't really I forgot about 2019 and 2020, 2021. My bad, Orlando Magic and Magic fans.
I was like, I was like, you're talking about like 4 years ago. And I was like, that's my favorite Magic moment. Cause I was like you were talking about, like, Magic I was 11 years old when
I just went right to Dwight
Howard stuff happened. And I love that team, right? But that DJ Augustine moment, getting to the playoffs with however many bad teams we had from 2011 to 2019, and just the cultivation of, you know, going up against, I think they were the one seed at that time, right? Yeah, it was 8-1. Yeah. And that DJ Augustine buzzer, oh my, that was a special moment, man. And then the bubble year, we also made the playoffs in what, 2020, but we don't count that.
Vooch went off. We did win
game one though.
We did.
We did win game one. We're really good at game one, Steven. We're really good at game one.
The Vooch era never got swept in the playoffs, and they won a game. You know, they've won one game. The Magic are really good at game ones. I apologize, Magic fans. I didn't mean to discredit you guys. Not. I guess I just kind of forgot about that era of basketball for a little while. It's forgettable.
That team was blown up because they weren't going to get past the 8 seed. So that I feel like that's excuse. Is you only had one round in both series, and they kind of were a little bit forgettable outside the DJ Augustine moment. But no, we have made the playoffs since 2012, Steven. Yeah, not that long.
Bryce, as we wrap up this show, what would be a playoff success for you in your eyes, and what would be a playoff disappointment? And maybe what's the margin of they're not like the most extreme? Because I think we both understand, like, if the Magic got swept in four games, we would be disappointed, right? And if the Magic made it to this Eastern Conference Finals, we definitely call that excess, but what's your bar of acceptable to disappointment to all over the place excitement with this Magic roster in the playoffs this year?
So I think that's a really hot button topic on Twitter right now, because I'm seeing a lot of people with expectations like, oh my goodness, we could go to the Eastern Conference Finals. We could win two playoff series and get there and be, you know, maybe a long shot for the finals. And while I hope that's the case, that's not my expectation. My expectation is about two games in round one, depending on the matchup. And I expect us to be competitive. If we're getting trounced in four or trounced in five, and the games that we lose, we don't look good at all. Like, I think that's an issue. But this team has a lot of capabilities. We have a lot of star potential, and we could have a lot of playoff risers. That being said, I don't expect this team to win round one unless, you know, we get a Pacers matchup and everything kind of, you know, looks good. But, you know, I think it's a successful season if we get to about six games in round one. That's
I agree. Honestly, you said kind of my thoughts too. I want to see competitive basketball. I want to see the games that we lose them be close games. I don't want to see 20-point blowouts in the playoffs for the Magic. I want to see Paolo be the best player on the court for the Magic, and just really step up to the moment, you know, individually wise. I want to see Coach Mosley call timeouts very well. I want to see him see what kind of offensive and defensive strategy he's got up his sleeve. Like, you know, I want to see more of J.I. with the starters, closing games, maybe even starting games, and see what kind of adjustments he does. We haven't seen Coach Mosley have to strategize for a specific team multiple times in a row. We've had some mini baseball series where they play the same team twice. You know, I think they did that versus Toronto a couple times and a few other teams throughout the season. But I want to see how he performs. I want to see Suggs with his full defense just being the best defender on the floor, same with J.I. And not get, you know, if we're going up against Jalen Brunson, how does Suggs do holding him down? You know, like, I want to see that, because Brunson is a beast. You know, that could be against Halliburton. I don't expect every player to play perfectly. I got a lot of questions about Cole Anthony and Wendell Carter Jr. And old man Joe, who I love and have standed this whole season. But how is that going to work out? Probably well. He's really smart. He's a little slow defensively now. He's not the same defender, but he's a good basketball player in other ways. So like those are some of the things I've been kind of looking at as far as not just like how are we winning, like the margins of victory, but like some like individual players. Do you have any players or player stories that you were hoping to get answers from in this postseason?
Yes, Steven, I do. On the positive side, I think we've seen a lot of shine from Cole Anthony off the bench. So he's been very consistent. He's been a stepper, as well as Mo Wagner. Those two guys off the bench are two pivotal guys for me going into the playoffs because, you know, the starting unit is solid, but that spark plug off the bench can sometimes get them going and get a lot of the guys going off the bench and even in the starting lineup. So I think those two guys, you know, their offensive production off the bench will be pivotal for us in the playoffs because we rely on a lot of our bench scoring. On the flip side, on a little bit more negative side, I really want to see Wendell matched up against a tough center in the playoffs. I think we've kind of seen it this year, unfortunately, is maybe he's not the five that, you know, we're kind of expecting of him. Not to say he can't be a four, but he's got to match up well against whatever five he gets up there in the playoffs. Because
he's had questionable moments. You know, we'll call a spade. He's had questionable moments this year that have had many Magic fans and media, you know, questioning his ability to be a consistent high-end starter for us, for the Magic team. I have said us a bazillion times talking about this Magic team tonight.
We're behind them.
We are. That is correct. We are a part of them. The Magic fans have the fan jersey retired. We are all one. I got to ask you a question. You giggled about Joe Ingles. What is that all about? What is that all about?
I remember we had a lot of conversations about Joe Ingles early in the season. Listen, Steven, I am a huge Joe Ingles fan now. I'm converted. That being said, you remember the Golden State Warriors game. He was hunted on that second unit on defense. He was hunted. He was falling on his knees. And look, I'm all for it in the playoffs, depending on the matchup. The Pacers, I don't think they have a terribly strong bench to compete with Joe. But if they are consistently in Joe Ingles 20 minutes a night hunting him, I don't think you're going to see him very long in the playoffs. I don't think you can justify him being out there with how bad he is on defense.
It depends on how vocal he is. That's my caveat right there. If he's talking trash, you know, getting under their skin, ankles broke a couple of times, that's okay. Well, we can deal with that as long as he's making the other team get a little bit more agitated and maybe coaching Cole Anthony on where to stand every now and then. That would be great.
Yeah, I think the Cole, Joe, and Mo experience on defense in the postseason is going to be must-watch television. How do we hide them on defense?
Well, I wonder, but that brings us back to, like, Coach, do we see him get a little bit more experimental recently? He hasn't been throwing in, like, Goga or Anthony Black much recently. Do we see some of that shift depending on the playoff matchup? I don't really know. We'll see. It'll be really interesting to see how Coach handles all this.
And then you also have a dark horse candidate, Markelle Fultz, who had a really good performance last game.
That was fun.
He's got four games to kind of get himself ramped up for postseason. I think a lot of people might be, you know, or not realizing, but I think there was a bit of this season, and I don't know how many games that he was playing through injury. So, you know, going into the postseason, maybe we get like the Fultz from last season. Hey.
The shot is back. College Fultz, there's no
four
hitch.
Threes?
Let's
four
go.
Threes?
Let's go.
2-1 game?
If listeners have been listening to me long enough, they know a little bit of my sarcasm in that comment. I like Fultz. I laugh at how many times over the years, the shot's back. I hope it's back. I would love for him to have an awesome playoffs because I did watch him, and many of you did see him in the Bucks series, and it was kind of an interesting series for him. He was healthy then, and he didn't really play all that great. So it'd be fun to see him step up, like he did in that Chicago game, playing confidently, playing aggressively, taking multiple threes, shoving it in my face that his shot is actually back. And I would love it. I would agree. And it's cool that he's taken so kindly to the second unit role with the adjustments that coach has made in the playoffs. I'm going to see what Gary Harris does. Do we see Gary take a little bit more volume? You know, that I think that's been a lot of fans' biggest complaints is the lack of volume he shoots from three. You know, can he get taken four or five shots a game and not two? You know, that would be sick.
I think he's also stepped up huge defensively. You know, I don't know if the shot's been there these last couple games. I think he's kind of been hit or miss. There was one point of March where he was on fire. He was taking like four or five threes a game and making most of
killing
them.
It.
So, I mean, if we get that Gary absolutely on offense, we're going to need the floor spacing for sure. But that being said, like his defense has been super underrated since All-Star break. I think he's been, you know, very solid on perimeter defense and just, you know, kind of getting opponents' heads. That those Pelicans games really highlighted Gary Harris for me, just, you know, being all up in, I think it was Herb Jones and Trey Murphy on the outside. So
he's a good defender. I was really excited about when we made that trade for him because, you know, he's a guy that can space the floor and, you know, a really good defender. Those that bubble series with the Nuggets that, you know, went, you know, had some really good battles, you know, Gary Harris was a big part of why that team was so successful defensively. So it'll be cool to see him bring that experience because really we're talking Joe Ingles and Gary Harris are the two main guys on this roster that actually have playoff experience. You know, Markel Fultz has the bubble series and Jonathan Isaac has the Raptor series, but that's kind of it. Gary Harris has played multiple series, multiple years in the playoffs. And obviously Joe Ingles has a very long playoff resume of being, you know, very effective player. So it'll be interesting to see how that happens, how that all plays out. Yeah, it'll be cool.
I'm really excited just for the atmosphere. I think the Kia Center is, and they've shown the attendance. I think we're still top 10 in attendance this year. And just like the whole community coming together for this Magic team, it's different than 2019. It's totally different than that Raptors series. And it's shades of the Dwight era again. And I think those home games are going to be pivotal in the postseason because obviously, but just with the atmosphere, this team really resonates with the fans. Like Suggs, a lot of his hustle plays, you celebrating with the fans. And I think it's going to be huge for this team at home. So especially getting, hopefully home advantage going into the postseason. I think that can be a major huge factor.
Magic fans, go to the block parties, right? Go to the games. There's going to be watch parties for you. If you're not attending the game at home or if it's a road game, go to the block parties. I don't know who's hosting. The Magic will host them. You know, go to the parties. Please, please, please show up for this team when they're on the road and at home. It's a great environment. It's a lot of fun. Do the thing, bro. It's going to be fun.
And ask your bars in downtown Orlando to show the Magic games. Even these last four games, because, you know, obviously, unfortunately, Harry Buffalo closed last year, and that was like the main Magic bar that was really close to Kia. But I feel like, and we talked about this in the spaces, there's not like, you know, bars that are showing Magic games in Orlando. Orlando is like the only professional sports team besides Orlando City. In Orlando, like this, the community is coming together to support this Magic team. I'm just hoping like the local bars and we can get kind of a bigger presence. Because you live over in the Pacific Northwest, Portland's behind the Trailblazers. They are really behind the Trailblazers. So if we could get that replication of the city kind of being behind, you know, Orlando, like that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. Bally Sports. How about we make Bally Sports free for Orlando restaurant owners? If you are listening, Bally, call me. I got ideas. It'll be a really good marketing campaign for you guys to launch right into next season. Call me, but we need to get it out there, right? Yeah, I actually live in the Bay Area, but I've been to Pacific Northwest, to Portland multiple times, and I'm probably going to move there in the next year or so. And they get behind the team. You can find their games everywhere. And the reason why I say that market over where I'm at in the Bay with the Golden State Warriors is Golden State's on national television all the time. You can see them regardless. Local channels, you know, they get that there. Portland, you know, they probably have to. Orlando, bar owners, patrons of restaurants, go and get them to put the Magic game on. Gosh, all right? Don't make Bryce and I start pulling out money and paying for the bars to do it. We will, but we don't really want to. We'd rather keep that in our hands, all right?
Exactly.
We're going to put all the money on.
Invest in your community.
Yes, exactly. Community. Well, Magic fans, I want to appreciate y'all for tuning into another episode. The Magic play a very exciting last couple of games to get dialed in for the playoffs. You know, let's just go through the remaining schedule. Tuesday, April 9th, probably the day a lot of you are listening or watching this show, they play the Houston Rockets. Wednesday, back-to-back, they're at Milwaukee. Then they are at Philadelphia and back home for the last game, the fan game, versus the Milwaukee Bucks on April 14th. Every single one of those games, tune in. It's like maybe 5 to 10 minutes after the game ends. Go to X, go to Orlando Magic HQ on there, and you see the little purple icon that says live. Post-game shows live. You're going to hear Bryce. You're going to hear Stanley Swanson. You're going to hear Skinny Hardaway. I'm going to jump in some of those. I jump into them. It's hard because it matches up with my daughter's. I got to put her down often. But regardless, I will be in those. We are going to have a lot of fun. Check it out. Bryce, tell the people where they can find you. Tell them anything you want to tell them. Let's go, Magic.
At Bryce Woolley on X. It's BryceWoolll. That's two O's and two L's, EY. And you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram, same handle. So we got things popping with the spaces. You know, we're going to try to get down there for some, you know, home playoff games, try to produce a little bit more content for you guys. And we're excited. We are as all excited for these playoffs as you guys are. I'm ready. I'm trying to get off work to figure out how I'm going to get down for these playoff games. This is the first time since 2019 or 2020 that we've been to the playoffs.
There we go.
So
my bad.
It's exciting. It's an exciting time to be a Magic fan. We're all pumped. Steven, I have one quick question before we close. Who starts in place of Franz tomorrow?
Who starts in place of Franz tomorrow? I'd imagine they'd probably pull in Caleb Houston if he's available. I feel like they've done that in the past.
He's been unavailable for the last couple of games. So do you think they throw him right back into the starting lineup? I know he's probably healthy, but
I think so. I mean, that's just kind of like that's kind of just been him all season. You know, like he's, you know, kind of a spot guy. That's who I think they'll throw in. You know, I don't know if they want a little more size, they could throw in Chuma. But he hasn't played in a minute. But what do you think?
I think they go smaller. I could see AB potentially jumping in there. I doubt it. I would probably go, ideally it's Isaac, but you know how it is, back to backs. But that being said, I'll take my final prediction will be Cole Anthony tomorrow. I think they'll run Cole, Jalen, Gary.
Wow.
Yeah, Cole, Jalen, Gary. It might be a shot in the dark, but I mean,
I'm here for it. I'm texting you right away if that's what we see tomorrow. Here I am retweeting Jason Beattie of Orlando Sentinel saying that Caleb Houston is not listed on the injury report. I wouldn't mind seeing Cole up there. That'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun. I would take it for sure. Magic fans, thanks for tuning in. Bryce, thanks for joining. Exciting couple of games left. Exciting couple of games left. Let's go, Magic. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.